We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 3, Liberation from the Illusory Energy, text number 21. Tasmād gurum pravartyeta,
tasmād gurum pravartyeta,
jigyāsu śreyam uttamam,
jigyāsu śreyam uttamam,
śabde parete nishnātām,
śabde parete nishnātām,
Brahmani upasamashrayam,
Brahmani upasamashrayam.
Tasmat,
tasmat.
Therefore.
Guru.
A spiritual master.
Pravadyeta.
One should take shelter of.
Jignasu.
Being inquisitive. Shreya uttamam.
About the highest good.
Shabde.
In the Veda.
Pare.
In the Supreme.
Cha.
And.
Nishnatam.
Perfectly knowledgeable.
Brahmani.
In these two aspects of the Absolute Truth.
Upasamashrayam.
Fixed in detachment from material affairs.
Translation. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of a bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of this conclusion. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. According to Srila Sridhara Swami, the word Shabde refers to the Vedic literature and Pare refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The bona fide spiritual master must be Nishnatam, deeply experienced in authorized Vedic literatures and in practical understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without scriptural knowledge and practical realization of the Personality of Godhead, a so-called guru will be unable to dissipate the doubts of his disciples and therefore unable to execute the function of bringing the sincere student back home back to Godhead. The symptom of realized understanding of the Vedas and Krishna is upasamashrayam. In other words, the bona fide spiritual master is one who has retired from the glittering illusion of materialistic society, friendship and love. Within the material world, one is suddenly attracted to becoming a great intellectual, a powerful politician, the loving father of many beautiful and affectionate little children, a most honored welfare worker or a highly admired and successful businessman. But none of these material positions have a permanent basis, nor do they afford permanent happiness, because they are all based on primary misunderstanding by which one identifies himself with a material body. Anyone can readily experience that he is not the body but consciousness. Even if one loses a limb of his body, he does not cease to exist as a conscious entity. Ultimately, the entire body is lost at the time of death and the living entity acquires a new body. The preliminary understanding of one's identity as consciousness is called self-realization. But beyond this elementary knowledge is the elaborate subject matter of how the soul comes to exist within the cycle of 8,400,000 material species of life. And if the living entity is not the material body but consciousness, he must ultimately have an original status on a higher platform. Punishment implies reward also. A powerful man who can punish is also able to reward. Therefore, the existence of punishment for the living being who is forced to take a miserable material body subject to birth, old age, disease and death also logically implies the existence of a reward for him. Although we mistakenly consider material sense gratification the ultimate reward of life, material happiness is actually another type of punishment, since it entices one to continue rotating in the cycle of birth and death. In the Western countries, Violent prisoners are placed in solitary confinement, whereas well-behaved prisoners are sometimes allowed to walk in the warden's garden or library as reward. But any position in prison is ultimately a punishment. Similarly, existence of higher and lower categories of material sense gratification does not explain the limited ultimate reward, which must constitute the natural antithesis of the punishment of material existence. That actual reward is an eternal life of bliss and knowledge in the kingdom of God, where there is no punishment. The kingdom of God is Vaikuntha or unconditional pleasure. There is no punishment in the spiritual world. It is a place of ever increasing pleasure. A bona fide spiritual master is one who is expert in all of these subject matters, not by his personal imagination or speculation, but by mature understanding of the authorized Vedic literature, which are the literary manifestation of the causeless mercy of God. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.3, Ashradhana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantava Aprapya Ma Nivartande Mrityu Samsara Vatmani. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotion service cannot attain me, O conqueror of foes, but return to birth and death in this material world. Therefore, the spiritual master must awaken the disciple to the eternal existence of devotional service. The example may be given that in the early morning a mother may enter her child's room to wake him up so that he can attend school. The child does not want to get up, but the loving mother forces him to get up and sends him off to school to be educated. Similarly, the bona fide spiritual master awakens the sleeping soul and sends him to Gurukul or ashram or the spiritual master, where he can be trained in perfect knowledge. If the disciple has doubt about the value of Krishna consciousness, the bona fide spiritual master must dissipate those doubts by superior knowledge. One who himself doubts the authority of Krishna or Vedic knowledge cannot become a bona fide spiritual master. On the other hand, Kiva Mitra Kiva Nyasi Sutra Kenanoi E Krishna Datta Veta Se Guru Bhai. Any human being from any social or economic status can become a bona fide spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yare Dekha Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amar Agya Guru Bhai Tara E Desh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Sri Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Only by the order of the authority of the Supreme Lord, one can become a spiritual master, not by one's own so-called erudition. The duty of the bona fide guru is to connect the disciple to Krishna. A scholar or meditator has no potency to connect another living being with Krishna if the scholar or meditator himself is not connected with Krishna. Although many sports fans attend gymnastic competition and upload an exhibition of difficult calisthenic feats, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not such a gymnastic spectator, and he does not upload the calisthenic exhibited by foolish persons in the name of yoga. Nor is the Supreme Personality of Godhead impressed by mediocre attempts at the philosophical speculation, since the Lord has already given his own opinion in Bhagavad Gita. Shrinume Param Vacha. The word of Krishna is Paramam Vacha, the last word in knowledge. The Krishna says, Yet Jnatva Neha Bhuyo Ajya Jnatavyam Avashishyate. When you know this knowledge, there shall remain nothing further to be known. Krishna has also refer to his knowledge as Rajavidya, the king of all knowledge. If one does not become a lover of Krishna, his connection with Krishna takes place indirectly through the illusory potency of the Lord. The idea that one can attract the Supreme Lord through mere gymnastics or foolish speculation on absolute truth is certainly a product of Maya. One who is connected to Krishna through his external illusory potency can serve only as a spiritual master to connect his so-called disciple to the same illusory energy. On the other hand, in Bhagavad Gita 9.13, it said, Mahatmanasu Mahapatha Devi Prakriti Mahasada Bhavati Anaya Manaso Jnata Bhutavim Avev. Those who are actually great souls have surrendered to the eternal potency of the Lord and can similarly connect others to the eternal pleasure-giving potency. A Mahatma is described in Bhagavad Gita as follows: Vasudeva Sarvamiti Mahatma Sudurlabha. He knows me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. It is to such a spiritual master who has reached the matured understanding that Vasudeva is everything that one must surrender. According to Sri Narada Muni, Yo Vidvan Sa Guru Hari, such a great soul is to be considered the external manifestation of Krishna himself. Krishna says this also: Acharyam Va Vijnaniya Navameya Kasvechit Samasya Bhutya Kyuta Sarva Deva Mayo Guru. One should know the Acharya to be myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is representative for all the demigods. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, if a spiritual master cannot destroy his disabled doubt by superior knowledge, the disabled will gradually become despondent in spiritual life. Because a bogus guru cannot actually give Krishna to his disciples according to the principle of Rasa Varja Prasopyasya, the disciples will again become attracted to material happiness, not having achieved the bliss of Krishna's association. Such a weak disciple of a weak spiritual master will gradually become hopeless and discouraged in his attempt at self-realization and again become fascinated by the temptation of illusion, such as woman, money and so forth, intellectuality based on speculation and imagination. Further symptoms of the bona fide spiritual master are given in Upadeshamrita as follows: Vajra Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Vipura Vegam, Udarogashta Vegam, Edan Veganyo Vishaheda Dhira, Sarva Abhimam, Prithivi Insa Shishya. A sober person who can tolerate the urges to speak, the mind's demands, the action of anger and the urges of the tongue, belly and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has stated, Upasamashrayam Krodha Lopal Abhutam. A bona fide spiritual master cannot be under the control of ordinary anger, greed and lust. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one who has understood the futility of material existence can approach a bona fide spiritual master. The two previous verses, the futility of earthly and heavenly sense gratification, has been described. Now the natural conclusion is that one who has understood this should approach a bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master broadcasts the sound vibration from the spiritual planet called Vaikuntha. The inhabitants of the spiritual planet, headed by the Supreme Personality of God and Himself, are certainly not deaf and dumb. They are in constant communication through unlimited transcendental bliss and knowledge. And the bona fide spiritual master can transmit the sound vibration of bliss and knowledge to his disciples. Just as the radio broadcasts mundane news, the bona fide guru broadcasts the news from Vaikuntha. This is confirmed by Narottamdas Thakur, Golokera Premadhana Harinam Sankirtan. The spiritual master also transmits to his disciples the holy names of Krishna, which is not different from Krishna himself. The bona fide guru informs the disciples that every living entity is qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord but quantitatively different, and thus engages the disciples in the loving service of the Lord. Because the living entity is qualitatively one with the Lord and is part of him, there is an eternal loving relationship between them. And because the living entity is quantitatively different, the relationship is eternally one of service. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, even though one may have the good fortune to accept a bona fide, highly qualified guru, if one maintains a taste for fruitive activities or mental speculation, one's advancement will be checked. But if a serious student surrenders to a bona fide spiritual master, there is absolutely no impediment to the transmission of perfect knowledge and bliss in the devotional service of the Lord. It was a very long purport, but it was very nice. So, to read. ओम अज्ञान सिमरांधस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाभय चक्षुरसृतं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकलामयं ददाति स्वपदाम्बिकम् जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। दिस वर्स इज वन ऑफ द वेरी मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट वर्सेस इन श्रीमद् भागवतम and Srila Prabhupada has quoted this verse many times. If you read Bhagavad Gita, if you read other sections of Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can see in other books, you can see so many times Srila Prabhupada has quoted this verse. This is a very famous verse in fact. It basically speaks about a bona fide spiritual master and the importance of accepting such a bona fide spiritual master. Generally, especially for anyone, those who are not devotees, it's a big question. How can one surrender and how can one follow the instruction of a particular person, the so-called guru? Basically, one has to do everything as instructed by a spiritual master to make advancement in spiritual life. So, this kind of approach as prescribed in Vedic literature becomes questionable for non-devotees. In fact, before my Krishna consciousness, I was reading few books, you know, it was by many Western scholars and many of them were approaching and they were speculating about the Vedic knowledge. And the common question they pose is that what is the system of Guru and Shishya? What is this question of spiritual master and his disciple? How can one just surrender unto a person who is just a human being and get the instruction from him and follow everything what he says? Apparently it looks so difficult. How can we do such a thing? It is actually giving one's own life, giving one's own independence, you know, giving away everything. So they say, you know, it is not practical, it is not possible for us to do such a thing. So this was many scholars' natural conclusion regarding the process of accepting a spiritual master. And they don't have, of course, the understanding of bona fide spiritual master who is coming in the disciplic succession starting from Lord Sri Krishna. So such a concept is not at all present. Then what to speak about, you know, accepting anyone? However, if you see in this world, everyone has to accept guidance and everyone follows someone or the other at all the time. Has anyone learned ABC by himself or herself? No. Everyone, you know, gets some guide, some instructor, approaches and, you know, encourage and get some instruction and then follow. That is the natural way of doing anything in this world. You know, many of you are, you know, IT professionals. Have you become programmers just by your own endeavor? No, you have gone to school, you have gone to other instructors, gone to some, you know, fast track courses to learn new languages, and after that, you know, you have become qualified to program or do some technical stuff. And of course for IT, you know, even if you are not qualified, it is good because, you know, it's the process of creating bugs and resolving bugs. So somebody has to be there to create bugs. So no issues as such. And especially, you know, if you are an accountant, it's a problem. There are two qualified accountants. It's an issue. You know, the figures will get changed. You know, if you are not qualified and if you don't know what you are doing, then it'll be a big trouble. And no one will ever go to a doctor who has not been trained, who has read, okay, get all the books from, go to a library, get all the books about medicine, surgery, get all the books, study all the anatomy, and start practicing on, you know, newcomers, you know, take some people and start cutting their bodies and, you know, make them as guinea pigs. You know, no one will ever go to them, you know, people run away such kind of doctors. It's like in India there are sort of, lot of, you know, fake doctors. You know, they are caught, you know, for money and for all this or that, they, you know, they pretend themselves to be fake doctors. You know, in the first word it was mentioning about fake spiritual masters, you know, bogus gurus. In the same way, the doctors are there who are fake. They are nothing but harm to the whole society. In the same way, the bogus gurus also big problem for the whole society, because they cannot give Krishna, they cannot do their job. However, in this world we accept, as you are describing, we accept some guidance and instruction from someone or other all the time. If we see, you know, if we have learned swimming, we go to an instructor. In fact, you know, if you last week Devamrita Swami was mentioning in my spiritual master, he was mentioning in one of the lectures how he was learning swimming at the age of 43 in New Zealand, you know. So there was an instructor, and you know, he was actually teaching him how to swim. So even if one is late, still one has to learn by approaching an instructor. And that is for swimming in a pool, you know, that's how much? 2 or 3 meters, that's it. But the material existence is called Bhavambhuti, means it's an ocean of material existence. And we have to swim through and cross over this ocean of material existence. So we have to understand, we certainly need a spiritual master, a guide who can actually take us to cross over this pool of material existence. It is hard. As Prabhupada was mentioning, you know, this Bhavambhuti or the Bhavasagar, the ocean of material existence, it has so many problems. On one side there is birth, death, disease, old age. There are problems from other living entities, from one's own mind, natural calamities. So many problems. So in this world it's filled with so many problems. And one can easily become bewildered by the influence of the material energy. It's like the forest fire. No one wants the forest fire. Forest fire is not actually, nobody is going and, you know, kindling the forest fire. No. Forest fire happens automatically. Just by rubbing of 2 branches of dry wood, just a few sparks come, and from that spark the whole fire starts. In the same way, in this world also, the problems of this world is pertinent, it's always there, and it is inherent nature of this world. Nobody has lied it, it is there. It's like as the modes of material nature are existing, within that these problems are present. So it's just a matter of, you know, when one is getting affected by that, problems are there. So there is one interesting purport given by Srila Prabhupada in the verse in Bhagavad Gita in 2.7. Because it is also talking about the same subject matter, that is, one should approach, basically Krishna, Arjuna is surrendering unto Krishna. He says, Karpanya dosha aparudha sabhava, that is, I am just surrendering unto you. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions very important point. He says, all Vedic literature advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life, which happen without our desire. That is a very important point. The whole thing happens, the perplexities of material life happens without our desire. We are not asking for. Nobody is chanting Hare Krishna and asking, begging the Lord, give me some more problems, give me some more problems. Nobody is asking. It happens automatically. And they are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusion. No one wants fire, and yet it takes place, and we become perplexed. The Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the science of the solution, one must approach a spiritual master who is in the disciplic succession. A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. One should not therefore remain in the material perplexities, but should approach a bona fide spiritual master. So he says, one should approach a bona fide spiritual master if one has to get out of the perplexities of material life. And it's also that he knows everything if he approaches a spiritual master. It means the spiritual master will give instruction, all the instructions required for him to go back home, back to Godhead. In that sense, he gets everything. The spiritual master knows what his student lacks and what he needs, so he can give without any problem. Another problem mentioned in this Prabhupada, very interesting, that in this world there is a sensation of happiness. This sensation of happiness is considered actually a catch. The sensation of happiness actually creates problems. Just like for a prisoner, if a prisoner is behaving very nicely, then he is given a chance to work in the garden or in a library or such, you know, small kind of job. So he doesn't have to go through the hardship of the prison. But he is still present in the prison. He is under the punishment all the time. So in that sense, if the so-called comfort and the so-called happiness that we derive in the material existence, that actually gives us a taste to continue, to perpetuate our life in this material world. So it is considered, it's another punishment. It's another trick. So that a living entity, he thinks, it is a nice place, this is a wonderful place. Let me stay here forever. It's like Lord Indra when he was cursed. When Indra was cursed, he was in a heavenly position. He was, you know, enjoying with a, you know, beautiful woman in the heavenly planet, drinking somaras. But when he was cursed, he had to come down and take the place of a pig in the ditch. He had, you know, he had piglets and he had his pig wife and etc. everything. So when Brahma came down and asked, when the term over, the curse period was over, Brahma came down and asked Indra, you come back, because there is no Indra there in the heavenly planet. Somebody has to take charge. What did Indra say? Indra said, it is fine, you know, I am happy here. You know, I have my nice dish, you know, my beautiful kids, my beautiful wife. Why should I go? Such a beautiful place. So that is the situation for all the living entities here, because we are enamored by the beauty of this material world. We like this. So wonderful situation, you know. Morning, it's nice, we can get up, you know, there are enough tram, public transport is good, we can go to work, spend the whole day, you know, there are promotions, you know, end of the month, you know, salary is coming, you know, there is wife and kids, you know, so many things are there, so many, you know, there are, of course, we accept, there are some problems, you know, there is some, you know, pain from the boss, sometimes he gives a bit of trouble, but still, you know, we can make it here, you know, so such a wonderful place. So once get that kind of thing, that kind of feeling that it is a better place and we will work here. It's nice. It's good. We are getting enough work. In temple we think, you know, three times prasadam is there, you know, because service is there, things are all fine. So why not just continue here, you know, forever. So that is the kind of conditioning given by Maya Devi. So Maya always helps us to remain in the material world. Gives hope against the hope. So due to all these reasons, as this verse mentioned, in the Tasmat Gurum Pravadeta, therefore, one should actually understand this is not the place of enjoyment, rather it's the place of suffering. There are problems. One should accept this problem and should approach a bona fide spiritual master. So the word Tasmat means therefore. Therefore one should understand and one should Pravadeta, one should approach and surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. It is said in the Bhagavatam, the same canto it is mentioned, Nirdeham Adhyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karna Dharam. That is, this Nirdeham, the material, the human form of life is Sudurlabham. It is very rare. One may question this point, because if you go to, you know, especially third world countries, you know, if you go to India, you can see too many people. If you go to any place, you will see too many people. You cannot walk on the street without hitting, you know, the shoulders with others, rubbing the shoulders. It's impossible. Then one might question, why it is said, you know, Nirdeham Sudurlabham. It is so difficult or so rare to achieve. But if we consider the cosmic manifestation of all the living entities, if we see how many living entities are residing in one human being, maybe millions, then one understands how rare is human form of life. And also it is Sulabham. It is well equipped with all the senses and with the perfect intelligence by which one can perfect the human form of life by going back to Godhead. So it is considered as a plavam. Plavam means a boat. So the human body is considered as a boat which is well equipped with all the important parts in it. And a spiritual master is considered karnadhar. Karnadhar means a captain. So we have this body as the boat and we have got the captain as a spiritual master. And where is it born? It is in the ocean of material existence. So we cannot dive inside, rather we have to cross over this ocean of material existence. So there is the favorable wind that is actually helping both the boat and the captain to row over. That wind is instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming as basic knowledge. So by that wind and by the presence of the spiritual master and utilizing our body in service of the spiritual master, one can actually cross over the material existence. So in Srila Rupa Goswami actually mentions in Nectar Devotion in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first step in the process of devotion service, first step is Adho Guru Pada Ashraya. That is, first step is approaching and taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. It is said that is the first step. And everything else actually follows from that point. Because spiritual master can give the right instructions. And from there, when you follow those instructions, one can make the progress. So everything starts from accepting a bona fide spiritual master. And we can see the examples of all great personalities, including the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. When they appeared in this material world, they all accepted spiritual master to set example. Sri Krishna, he had his spiritual master as Sandipani Muni. And for Lord Ram, who was that? Vasishtha, that's right. Vishwamitra? No, Vishwamitra.
Vishwamitra
later. Vasishtha. Yeah, I understand Vasishtha. And when Mahaprabhu appeared, who was the spiritual master of Mahaprabhu?
Ishwarapuri.
Actually, when Mahaprabhu went to Gaya to perform the Shraddha ceremony for his father, when his father was departed. So after performing the Shraddha ceremony in different Gayas, there is Ram Gaya, there is Rudra Gaya, there is Yudhishthir Gaya, there are different Gayas, there are different places in Gaya where all these great personalities, they perform Shraddha for their forefathers. So similarly, when Mahaprabhu went there, he performed Shraddha ceremony for his father. In Gaya, he happened to meet his spiritual master, Sri Ishwarapuri. So actually it happened in a temple where there was the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Gadadhar. Sri Gadadhar, lotus feet was there, imprinted in that place, and Mahaprabhu happened to go there. When he went there, he saw that it was surrounded by a lot of Brahmins. And all these Brahmins, they started glorifying the lotus feet of the Lord. They said, this is the lotus feet which was worshipped by Lakshmi and which is already being worshipped by and is being kept in the heart by Lord Shiva. And this is the feet from where Ganges is emanating. And if one just sees the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu here, then he will never take birth again. And he will never come under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. When he heard all this glorification of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Mahaprabhu started crying and he went into ecstasy. Soon after, he happened to meet his spiritual master, Sri Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri came over there and he met him. Then later, as a perfect disciple, Mahaprabhu cooked for Ishwarapuri. Personally, he cooked and he offered prasadam to Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri accepted that. Then later, Mahaprabhu asked for initiation to Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri gave him initiation. He asked basically, give me the Krishna, give me the mantra and give me, please initiate me. Ishwarapuri, as you know, there is a very interesting point that is, Ishwarapuri could really understand who this personality was. He could understand Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is, it is actually showing that a spiritual master can actually know the position of his disciple. So by mercy of the Supreme Lord, a spiritual master can understand in what level his disciple is. So for Ishwarapuri, by the mercy of Mahaprabhu himself, he could understand the position of Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Mahaprabhu asked for initiation, he said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I not only a mantra, not only Krishna mantra, I can give my life to you because you are the Supreme Lord. That is perfection of my life. However, to set the example, Ishwarapuri initiated in 10 syllable Krishna mantra. And then the story goes, Mahaprabhu started chanting overnight, all the time. He couldn't stop chanting. And he was telling, you know, I am becoming like a madman by this mantra. And he approached back Ishwarapuri and he informed, oh, what is wrong with this mantra? Because I am just acting like a madman, I am singing and dancing all the time. Ishwarapuri said, oh, actually you have attained the perfection of what I have given to you. And he said, you know, this is the active symptom of a perfected being who chants the holy name of Krishna. Actually, he said, he quoted a verse from in the 11th canto, which we were going through, I think, you know, last month, I think, you know, evam vratasya priya nama kirtya jata nirago druta citta ucche hasatyato rodati raudikaya tunmadavan nirtyati lokabahya. Such a devotee, when he chants the holy name of the Lord, he just dances like a madman. His heart becomes softened, his mind becomes agitated, he starts crying. And such symptoms were manifested by Mahaprabhu, and Ishwarapuri approved those symptoms. He said, yeah, that's the perfection, that's good. Here, a very interesting word is this, that is Shreya, Tasmat Guru Prabhadeya Jinyasu Shreya Uttama. Shreya means the ultimate good. So the question arises, who should approach a bona fide guru? If somebody has problem at work or, you know, problem with the family, is that the actual reason to approach a spiritual master? The answer is no. One who is interested in Shreya. What is Shreya? There are two words often used, that is Shreya and Praya. Praya means resolving the immediate problem, the temporary problem. You know, I have nothing to eat, so I want something to eat. You know, I don't have a job, I want to find a job. These kind of problems are temporary problems. And to resolve those kind of problems, that is called prayer. As Srila Prabhupada says, if you have some difficulty with your health, don't go and approach a spiritual master, don't approach a guru. You go and see a doctor. There are so many doctors, so many specialists are there for, you know, all parts of your body, you know, eyes, for ears, for everything there are specialists. So go and see him. Don't go to a guru, because that's not the business of guru. So for guru means one has to go if there is an issue with Shreya for the ultimate good. So it is said Shreya Uttama. And that is the ultimate good. If one has to know how can I get over from the gross material existence, then one has to actually approach a spiritual master. So that is the actual qualification that is in the papers. You should know why should he go to a spiritual master. And if a disciple thinks that I can resolve all my problems by my own endeavor, my intelligence, my beauty, my strength, my knowledge, then he shouldn't actually approach a spiritual master. If one thinks that he is ready, he has the ability to make progress in spiritual life without any other help, or I don't need really, I am well equipped with knowledge, I am well equipped with, you know, all the Purana, I am well equipped with all other stuff, with knowledge, strength, then he is not actually ready to approach a spiritual master. One should actually feel helpless, then he can approach a spiritual master. He should feel helpless. Otherwise one is not qualified to approach a spiritual master. It's like the same position as Arjuna. Arjuna says, you know, he says, I am completely confused and I don't know what to do. Yes, same nishayam bruhitanme shishyasteham shatimam tvam prapannam. Arjuna says, so please instruct me for certain, clearly tell me what I should do. Because he is positioning himself on a lower ground, telling him, I am such a lower position, I am completely confused. And I don't know what to do. So I am approaching you, O Krishna, and your disciple. So that is a very important point. That is, one has to understand one is incapable, one is helpless. Then one can approach a spiritual master sincerely. And also, as we can understand, bhakti doesn't need any qualification. If somebody has a bit of attraction for bhakti, he can take up the process of devotional service. A little bit of attraction, that's enough. We got a little bit of shraddha, a little bit of faith. That is enough to take up the process of devotional service. But to make progress in devotion service, a student should be qualified. And one qualification is essential. That is the essential element in that process. And that qualification is that the disciple should be ready to accept and follow the instructions of the acharya, of the spiritual master. Without that basic qualification, one cannot make progress. It's like when one time Srila Prabhupada went to Vrindavan with all of his Western disciples, many of his Western disciples. So the caste Goswamis, they started complaining to Prabhupada. And they started saying, your disciples, you know, they don't know this, they cannot, you know, pronounce Sanskrit properly, they cannot, you know, they cannot do the things properly, you know, they don't know this, they don't know the other things, etc., etc. So many complaints. Srila Prabhupada heard all these things. And Prabhupada mentioned one important point. He mentioned, yes, what you are saying is right. They have all these kinds of problems. They cannot follow, they cannot, you know, there are a few problems like this that I accept. However, there is one important thing. That is, they follow whatever I say. That is their qualification. So that is the biggest qualification. And whereas the devotees there, the Goswamis, the caste Goswamis, they were not ready to follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, of a pure devotee. So who is more qualified actually? You know, his disciples, because they were ready to follow the instructions of his spiritual master. There is nothing higher than that. It's a pure devotee, that's about it. And also we were reading this point in this year's Vyaspuja book, in Sri Shivara Maharaj's offering. That is, many times it is always recommended to read books written by Srila Prabhupada's, you know, associates, contemporaries, maybe God brothers or those who lived at the same time as Srila Prabhupada. So people were recommending few books, I don't know the name, to read. If you read this, you can understand more about Srila Prabhupada. People were recommending. So to this, you know, approach, Srila Maharaj makes a very important point. The point is that Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, you have to read my books. He never said you have to read, you know, books written by others, my contemporaries or godbrothers or anything. He said, if you have to know me, you have to read my books. One can actually know Srila Prabhupada by reading his books and following those who are following Srila Prabhupada. It's not just who know Prabhupada personally. That's not the whole point. Because personal acquaintance could be there, but that's not enough. But to know the heart, one has to follow the instructions. To understand the Guru's heart, Guru actually what he wants from a disciple, one has to serve the Guru and follow the instructions. Then actually the Guru will reveal his heart. Then he can understand what is there in Guru's heart for us, what we have to do. Otherwise, he cannot. So the same principle applies in this case, you know. If reading other books about Srila Prabhupada may not really get the enough information for us to follow Prabhupada. We have to read Srila Prabhupada's books itself. There is no other goal. That is written by Prabhupada. And I was reading a couple of very interesting examples how, because a very, very nice point mentioned here, that is, a guru, he is fully capable, a bona fide guru, he is fully capable to dissipate the doubt within the heart of a disciple. He has all the potency, Krishna has given all the potency to a bona fide spiritual master to clear all the doubts of a disciple. So if a spiritual master cannot remove the doubt from a disciple's heart, then it's a problem. It's a problem in the sense the guru, the disciple will lose enthusiasm. He becomes despondent and he will again take shelter of Maya. Because he cannot make progress. If there is doubt, then he cannot make progress. So the doubt has to be cleared. Srila Prabhupada was also expert in clearing doubt. One instance, one devotee actually wrote to Srila Prabhupada. He wrote, look, Prabhupada, I am studying Bhagavad Gita and I understand as well as Bhagavatam. And I understand that the ultimate realization is in the three levels, you know, as you know, Bhagavatam says, first hand, you know, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti. So three levels, one is the personal Brahman and then the Paramatma and after that, the ultimately the Bhagavan. So, now why should I chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra and follow the process of devotion service? Rather, first I will realize Brahman and after that Paramatma and after that I will come to Bhagavan. So I will take this step by step approach. So Prabhu, please instruct me, what should I do? Srila Prabhupada, he couldn't really understand what was going on. He just wrote him back. He just asked one question. Are you chanting your 16 rounds? That was the only question he asked. And it was very clear, and the answer was no. Answer to that question was no. So the whole program arrived, you know, because of this reason. That is, he was not chanting his 16 rounds. So basic instruction, he was not following. So due to that, you know, all these doubts, you know, first I should, you know, go to the Brahman path and then Paramatma and then Bhagavan. This kind of all the speculation started. And there is one instance in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One big scholar, he was like a professor of Sanskrit and, you know, big philosopher, he approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he wanted to discuss some very important, very, very high level philosophical subject matter. When he approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was busy with something. But he said, look, I am busy at this point of time, so maybe meanwhile you can help the brahmacharis. They are doing something in the, some cleaning in the paraternity room. So the scholar, he was quite humbled. He said, okay, I'll do that. He just went there and he started cleaning the paraphernalia with other brahmacharis. But he was not supposed to do that in one sense because he was such a great personality and he had came to approach the acharya and have a conversation with him. And Bhaktisiddhanta just directly, you know, sent him directly to the paraphernalia room. And he was a very humbled person, so he accepted. He went and he did the service. But towards the end of the service, he came back and Bhaktisiddhanta said, okay, it's ready, you can come and you can talk to me. He came back and he started speaking to Bhaktisiddhanta. So Bhaktisiddhanta asked, oh, what's your doubt? You had some important point to discuss with me. So the scholar said, look, I had that doubt, but after doing the service, it was completely answered. Now I don't have any doubt. And it shows, you know, such an acharya, how they know the heart of a person and how they are guiding so nicely. So just with that small service, he could actually change. He could actually give that knowledge and he could dissipate that complete doubt from his heart. And regarding the qualification of a spiritual master, that is, this verse is used in many times. Srila Prabhupada used to describe the qualification of a spiritual master. The qualification of a spiritual master is not following any, you know, seminal line of gurus or, you know, following some sampradaya. No. The real qualification is, it doesn't matter which social order one is. You know, it says, Kibhavatra, Kibhanya, Ti Shudra, Kenana, Ye Krishna Datta Veti, Se Guru Hoy. Ye Krishna Datta Veti. One who knows of the science of Krishna consciousness as given in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, he is qualified to give out the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Not that, you know, one needs any prerequisites in terms of birth or, you know, such, you know, or the qualifications according to Varnashram. It's not required. Actually, in Mahaprabhu, in his pastimes, he has demonstrated that principle. From Jagannathpuri, when he goes to South India, he meets with Ramananda Roy. When he meets Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Roy was not a Brahmin or a qualified in that respect. He was a Shudra. Actually, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he mentioned about Ramananda Roy in Jagannath Puri. And he mentioned to Mahaprabhu that there is such a great devotee known as Ramananda Roy who is living down in near Madras. And you should go and meet him. He is such a great elevated personality that he is completely in ecstatic love of Krishna. Please go and meet him. So Mahaprabhu happened to meet him on the banks of Godavari. And when he started conversing with Ramananda Roy, initially Ramananda Roy introduced himself as a low-born Shudra. I am such a, you know, low-born Shudra. I have no qualification. And how can I speak about Krishna to you? You are such an elevated great sannyasi, effulgent. Mahaprabhu said, look, he quoted actually this verse, you know, Kibhavatra Kibhanyasi. It's not according to one's material qualification. It's not according to birth. It's not according to varna or ashram or occupation. One is qualified to deliver the knowledge of Krishna. Rather, the qualification is the understanding of Krishna Tattva. Understanding and realizing the Krishna consciousness. Then, right there, they had a conversation right from varnashram till pure devotion service, including conjugal relationship between the gopis and Krishna. So, actually, Mahaprabhu made him speak In the conversation, Ramananda Roy says, actually I am not speaking, you are making me to speak. My tongues are just vibrating by your force. You are actually making me speak. So that is actual, in one sense, that is the actual position of a spiritual master. He is not just speculating, but Krishna is speaking through such a spiritual master, through such a bona fide spiritual master. And such bona fide spiritual master, it is exactly opposite to, you know, the so-called gurus who are just blessing gurus, you know. If you go to those gurus, we expect blessing and they will also give blessing. You know, I have seen many gurus like that, you know. If you go, you know, first the hand posture will be like this. And everybody is happy. They will pay obeisances, give money and get the blessings. That's it. There is no instruction. So blessings, actually, for a bona fide spiritual master, what is the blessing? Blessings are instructions. And if you are not ready to follow the instructions, then there is no blessings. So actually, guru empowers his disciples to follow the instructions. So the power is coming along with the instruction. It's only a matter of we have to apply it. Come off, get out of the mental platform and just do it. That is the process. And one final point, that is what, okay, there is this disciple is there, there is guru. We discussed a bit of qualification of both, and there is something known as initiation, which is very important. It is like, guru means, guru are of different levels. One is, you know, one who actually shows one to Krishna consciousness for the first time. It is called, he is called as Vatma Pradarshaka Guru. One who shows the Vatma, who shows the path, first time. He may not be an elevated or an Uttamadhikari or anything of that sort. Anyone can show us the path, you know. Come, there is a temple here, this is tram number 112, you get on, come with me. So that is Vatma Pradarshaka. He can just show the path of Krishna consciousness for the first time. And apart from that, there is Shiksha Guru. We take Shiksha, we get instruction from so many people. They are known as Shiksha Gurus. And ultimately there is Diksha Guru. Diksha Guru means one who actually gives the official initiation. Diksha, one we get Diksha from, that is Diksha Guru. So one can have only one Diksha Guru, but there can be many Diksha Gurus. And we respect all the Gurus. You know, we don't differentiate, we respect everyone. But naturally one will be more attached to one who has taken Diksha from. So one can ask, what is the importance of Diksha? You know, I can, you know, Mahamantra is there, all the books are available, you know, Srila Prabhupada Prabhupada's tapes are there, we can hear all the lectures. And what is the importance of Diksha? Why one actually officially need to be connected to the Parampara? So the initiation is the process in which one is officially connected to the Parampara, to the chain of disciplic succession. So it is said, if one actually gets mantra, the same mantra, when he gets from a guru, the potency is completely different. And when he gets instruction from a guru, the potency is different. It is like, there was a story of a king and a sage. One time, a sage came, and you know, the king was there, and to this assembly, a sage came. And, you know, king was in the doubt, what is this old meaning of the process of initiation? That is, what is the meaning of officially taking diksha from a guru? And actually the guru said, yeah, there is some importance to that. And king said, you know, I am already chanting a mantra, and this mantra you usually initiate with the same mantra. So actually if you speak, I am chanting the same mantra, and or say when you are initiating someone, you are also giving the same mantra. So what is the whole difference? King started disagreeing completely with the sage. He said, no, there is, you know, I have already the mantra, there is no point in actually getting initiated. There is no point, because the mantra is the same. Then, the sage, to make a point, he said, immediately, he in front of the assembly with all the king, all the soldiers, all the ministers, everyone is assembled. And the sage shouted, arrest him! Then nothing happened, everyone was looking around, everyone was perplexed, and everyone turned looking. He said, arrest him! Nothing happened. Third time he said, arrest him! Nothing happened. Then king said, arrest him! So immediately all the soldiers came and he started arresting the sage. Then the sage said, look, I said arrest him, you also said arrest him, but the impact was completely different. So it depends, you know, who is saying what. So in the same way, when I give mantra, that is, the potency is different. because it is coming from the disciplic succession, and you are actually getting connected to the disciplic succession. In that sense, it's completely, the potency is completely different. Next, okay. Any questions or comments? There are different kinds of initiation. The first we call first initiation, that is a Harinam initiation, in which one gets the mantra officially from the Guru. So that is called the first initiation. You know, we call the first, where we get a mantra and a name. Official name and Mahamantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra we get. That is called Harinam initiation or first initiation. And there is second initiation, that is Brahman initiation, where we get mantra to perform deity worship. And these are the two initiation what usually go through. And the sannyas initiation, there is sannyas initiation, that is different. That is initiating to the renowned order of life, that is different. So it is not all the same. There is first initiation, there is second initiation, and there is sannyas initiation, that is different. Yes,
Prabhu. I can't remember this Bhagavatam slogan,
yeah,
but from the reading of the actual Sanskrit,
yeah,
can you tell me what it said in it, please, again, about the what level a Diksha or initiating guru has to have attained? I mean, like from the Bhagavad Gita slogan, it said, Jnaninas Tattva Darshanas,
yeah,
so that means he has seen the truth itself.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite remember.
Okay, yeah, it's a very interesting point. Here, his qualification is described as Shabde Paresha Nishnatam. Shabde Paresha Nishnatam. So there are two things actually. Shabde. Shabde means, the literal translation of Shabda is words. Okay. But Shabde here is referring to Vedic knowledge, Vedic sound vibration, because it is the original sound vibration. So Shabde means Vedic sound vibration. Then second is Pare. Pare means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are the two criteria. A guru should have fully knowledgeable in Shabde and Pare. He should have the understanding of Vedic knowledge as well as about Krishna, and he should be able to give that Vedic knowledge in a practical circumstances. That is, when one approaches a guru, he is in the midst of material problems. He is trying to practice Krishna consciousness in the midst of so much of material issues. So in that practical situation, guru should be able to give knowledge in such a way that he can apply practically. So that is the sort of the both Krishna, he should be able to deliver Krishna and the Vedic knowledge both at the same.
I mean specifically, if you don't mind,
yeah,
the level of attainment should be that the Diksha or initiating guru, as Prabhupada says in the extra instruction somewhere,
yeah,
the original Adhikari, the Madhyama. He was saying could still conceivably fall down, but the Uttamacharya, there's no chance of him falling down, and that's because of his level of devotion.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, I mean, we could all have faith in Srila Prabhupada because of his exalted level. There's no question of someone like Srila Prabhupada,
yeah,
falling down because he's seen the truth, actually, could see the,
yeah,
truth, and he could not be allured by the material.
Yeah.
Is that the qualification?
Okay.
Always.
Okay.
I understand.
It's clear now. Actually, we went through those points in the 11th canto. It's actually described. It is said, and Uttama Adhikari does not mean that he is seeing Krishna face to face. It does not mean that. So the example given was of Shukadeva Goswami and Srila Vyasadeva. They were, it is the purport says, they were not seeing Krishna face to face all the time. But still they were on the platform of Uttama. You see the point? So, you know, Uttama does not literally mean that they are seeing Krishna all the time. Okay, for Srila Prabhupada, he said, you know, he was seeing Krishna all the time. That's different. But Uttama Adhikari does not literally mean that he is seeing Krishna all the time. You know. So,
okay.
A person, yeah.
Because I didn't mean like that.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I just meant the level of
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that a Madhyama, an advanced Madhyama is a big platform.
Yeah.
you know, it's not a small platform. It's a big platform. So one who is on a, you know, higher level in Pashyama, he can also be a guru. There are instances in that case also. So,
thank you. Yeah, thank you very much.
Any other?
How is the DDP actually appointing, initiating spiritual master?
I don't know. I'm not a manager. I don't know. How cheap it is appointing a spiritual master. I don't know.
So because we see many senior devotees in ISKCON,
yeah,
and not many of them actually become spiritual masters.
Yeah. Because it's a big responsibility. One has to suffer for the, you know, the nonsense done by the disabled. So it's a big responsibility.
Or the devotees managing themselves on their own to get certification, or how does it exactly happen for them? Because we see many devotees over there.
They
slowly move away. Or
I didn't get the question. The final part I didn't get.
How does it exactly channelize it towards the spiritual?
I exactly don't know. You know, if you want to know about the first or second initiation, then Mataji, you can ask. You know, the higher, I don't know. I don't know.
Some kind of reference.
I really don't know how it is being done. It's a quite administrative sector. I don't know. Mataji, would you like to comment? Yeah, because it was not bothering me much, so I didn't care about these things.
Seriously. You can ask Pranav.
Yeah, Pranav.